I'm grateful for your presence this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's here. Y'all welcome back next week. I say that to those that are visiting. Y'all are welcome back next week. But anyway, it's good to see each and every one. Grateful for the visitors, grateful for those that are normally and regularly here. We're going to talk a little bit this morning about the holiday that happens this week. Obviously, you know that I always preach on holidays. I do let some go by. I rarely preach on St. Patrick's Day. Hardly ever mention Arbor Day. But anyway, I do like Thanksgiving. And you know, and as I've said, and I've said, and I've said, and I've said, and it's trite, I know. Being formerly a Canadian, I get two Thanksgivings a year. So, that's a good thing. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about praying during Thanksgiving. Because that's the intention of this day. Did you know that? The intention of this day as an American holiday is to pray to the Almighty God and thank Him for our multitude of blessings. The fourth Thursday of November is what we have set aside now in the United States of America. It is our only official religious holiday. Did you know that? It's the only official religious holiday in the United States of America. In October of 1789, don't mind me, I'll get it right, trying to make him young. 1789, President George Washington declared, and I would love for every president since then to be able to say these words, but anyway, George Washington said, "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them the opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness." Our country recognizing the Almighty God is a wonderful thing. Our country recognizing His many signal favors. We don't say that like that anymore. I wish we talked like that every once in a while. But you know, the thing is, we need to remember God. We need to remember those things. The decree has never changed. Now, there is a little bit more to it. I kind of chopped and channeled a little bit there. But there's more to it. But you know, it's never changed. It's never been wiped off the books. You don't have somebody trying to erase that from history, and I'm grateful for that. But you know, the decree has had a little bit of a flex. Abraham Lincoln made it an annual event because some of the presidents between Washington and Abraham Lincoln, they didn't observe a Thanksgiving Day, but he made it an annual remembrance, 1863. And then Franklin Delano Roosevelt changed it to the fourth Thursday instead of the last Thursday. Now, that's some serious law right there, you know. But it does happen that there are occasionally five Thursdays. And that was not for any good reason other than the retailers wanted more people to have a day to shop and not be at home eating turkey. But anyway, here we have it. So we're going to celebrate. But you know, here's the thing. We as God-fearing seekers, we're looking for God's divine will and trying to serve Him each and every day. We're not bound to participate in Thanksgiving Thursday, but why not? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you take a day to thank God for all His manifold blessings? And we ought to. The giving of thanks is clearly something we ought to participate in. You know, this particular Thursday is certainly one that we can take advantage of. And so in doing that, we provide an example of thankfulness to those around us, to our children. Teach our children that we are thankful to God for what He's done for us, our friends, our neighbors. You know, our children need to learn that we're not self-made. The things that I have are not from my hand, they're from God's hand. My children need to know that. And on, all my friends and neighbors need to know that. I'm thankful to God for those things. You know, there is more to thankfulness than words. But our words to God are essential. We really need to get back to the sense of praying and praying often. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop praying. Something that we need to get hold of. for our lesson, let's consider three prayers that we can share in thanksgiving to God. So let's open our Bibles together to consider these things. First of all, we would be thankful for the past. Thankful for the past. You know, you think about that for a second. We all have a past. Every one of us, because we're here. Here we are, breathing air still. So we did something yesterday. Something about the past is part of what we are. You know, our past, whatever it may contain, it really, whether it's good or not so good, it's brought you to where you are. It's made you who you are. And honestly, the valuable person that you are. So whatever that might be, we look back at it. But, you know, even if you reflect back and you don't like what your past held, and that's the truth for a lot of Christians. Did you know that? You know, even Paul, the Apostle Paul, became a Christian. He looked back at his past and he said, yeah, I did those things in good conscience, but he wasn't happy he did those things. He regretted his past and the things that he had formerly done. But, you know, here we have a situation where if you don't like what you have in the past, you have to realize that you were blessed in the past. All of us are. But sometimes we need to look past ourselves, because immediately we think, well, I'm going to be thankful to God. Well, you just look at yourself. But I want you to look way back further than yourself when we're going to be praying to God about the past. We're going to talk about the fact that there are far greater things for which we can and should be thankful that came from the past. We can be thankful for this life and its opportunities. Now, that goes way back. Now, you think about that. God created the world and everything in it. Look with me over in Psalm 19, if you would. Psalm 19, I want you to take a look over there together, because there's two great blessings that God gave us. The first one is life and opportunity, and the second one we'll talk about in our next point. But I want you to look at it from this context in Psalm 19, and beginning at verse number 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run his race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." God gave us this world. God gave us this earthly creation. He did that for you and I. God gave us life and opportunity. He made the world and everything in it. Acts chapter 17, verse number 24 is what Paul declares there. He told us that He also made mankind. In verse number 26 of Acts chapter 17, God made from one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. God did that for us. He gave us this life and this opportunity. But He also gave us a purpose. A reason to be. He gave us a goal to achieve. Acts chapter 17, verse number 27 says, "It is the purpose of man to seek God, search for Him, grope for Him, though He is not far from each one of us. That we might find our Creator's God and might serve our Creator God is our greater purpose in this life." That's the opportunity God blesses us with. God also reveals His intentions to us, His hopes and His direction for us all. Look as the context continues there in Psalm 19 to this next section. Verse number 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." God hopes for you to receive His great reward. I want you to embrace that as God's hope. God's hope for you is to receive that reward. Now, you can't skip the jump between life and the great reward without looking at all of the factors of righteousness and instruction that God gave us to get there. We have got to follow His plan to get there. God revealed His intentions to us. You know, one of God's great and perfect gifts, or good and perfect gifts as it puts it in James chapter 1, is His Word. And it's intended to be read. It's intended to be understood and obeyed. And that's what God wants for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13, 15 to 16 tells us that we need to be reading the Word of God, giving ourselves entirely to it that we might progress, we might have growth, and that our growth would be evident. The redemption of mankind came at a high cost, and we need to be thankful for it. Thankful for something way before us, way before my life existed. Jesus Christ died on the cross so that when I existed, and now I do, obviously so, I would have the hope of redemption. A great and high cost was paid for that. Romans chapter number 5, verses 1 through 10 tells us that we were separated from God, but God loved us enough to send His Son and allowed Him to come here and pay the price for us. It was not the sacrifice of some animal. It was not the payment of some large amount of money. You know, it's kind of like one of those movie plots where somebody shows up and they whip out their checkbook and say, okay, how much? You know, that's kind of the idea people take with this. It's not a price. It's not a price tag. It's not what it took. What it took was for Jesus Christ to come and satisfy that price, to take on flesh that He might die, to take on flesh that He might have blood to let there at the cross, giving Himself as a payment for us. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 18 to 28. You know, I think sometimes the value of this escapes us. I think sometimes we have this really superficial take on it where we go, well, Jesus is God and God came down here and He knew He was going to be raised from the dead and He knew He was going to go back to heaven. I think we have the wrong perspective with that. You know, God had never proven that He could do it. Did you know that? God had never raised anyone from the dead. Just seeing if you're paying attention to eternal life. He had never raised anyone from mortal death to eternal life ever before. Did you know that? Here's the thing. He did it in Jesus. He allowed this situation to take place. Now think about all the cost that was involved. There's nothing more valuable to man than life. Why is it that Jesus went and wept in the garden and prayed and great droplets of sweat poured from His forehead? Why was that? Because there's nothing more precious to man than life. And it was His life that was going to be paid. We would give anything to preserve our life, but Jesus willingly became flesh for the very purpose of offering the greatest sacrifice of all, a perfect, innocent life facing the death of a common criminal. You know, it was not just a fluke that the Romans at the time used crucifixion. It was prophesied centuries before Christ that He would die on a tree, die on a cross. And the cross was a punishment for a common criminal. Who were the two that bracketed Him there on that hill? Common thieves. And here is our Lord and Savior in perfect innocence facing that death, a terrible death. Because of that sacrifice in the past, we have the opportunity of salvation for which we must be thankful. You know, we can follow God's plan today, and it works because Jesus Christ paid for it to work. We can embrace the hope of salvation today. When we have a statement like Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God." That power of God was ratified, was made real, was made substantial in the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, the burial and resurrection and ascension of Christ. God proved Himself and His plan became real. Not just a future plan at some point. No, it became actual at that point. There is much to be thankful for from the past, so pray to God and thank Him. Well, be thankful for the present. The present moment is the only time you're actually alive. You're not alive a second ago. You're not alive a second from now. You might be. Oh, hey, we were. Okay, good. But you're not. You're only alive right now. In the present moment. What do you do with your present moments? You know, that's the challenge of this all. Our past resides only in memories and our future only in imaginations. Our life is bracketed by that idea. The concept is the past is only what we remember of it, and the future is only what we plan it to be. But the now is where we function. That's why when I get done a sermon and I say that you need to obey the gospel right now, I don't say, you know, after this sermon, I really hope it stirred your heart and I hope that it moved you to consider the scriptures and consider your soul and sometime next Thursday, go ahead and be baptized. No. Now is when we function. Now is when we need to obey. Our present moment is our only blessing of opportunity. Now, we may be blessed with more opportunities, but this moment is our blessing of opportunity. Life consists of opportunities and choices, and we need to make those choices well. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21 is the parable of the rich fool. You know, all of those plans that he had, I've got such an amazing crop, I'm going to just sit back, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry, I'm going to have all this forever. And what happened to him that very night? Your soul is required of you. His life ended. He died. Opportunities and choices. When given an opportunity, we're going to inevitably, we cannot avoid this. We're going to choose it or we're going to refuse it. That's what happens. I mean, it's the same thing. I get done a sermon and I walk down those stairs by habit. It's always those stairs. I don't know what I'd do if I ever walked down those stairs. I think they work. By habit, I go right there and I start offering the invitation of Jesus Christ, and I plan to, and if time and opportunity presents itself, I trust I will. But right then, you know, that's the time. And that's where people, you, the people, choose to it or refuse it. That's when I know if my sermon worked or not. Now, if it worked that way, I would have frustrated and give up years ago. I never know when the sermon's going to work, but I hope that it works right now. You know, that's the idea. One of life's tougher lessons is that not all opportunities present themselves again. You ever have that? You know, somebody comes along, and this is how we say it in the world, a chance of a lifetime. This is not a chance thing. This is an opportunity thing. But not all opportunities present themselves again. You have these moments, and every once in a while I try to remind all of us that we have these moments. These moments, like right now, I don't know why it is that you got up and showed up this morning, but you're listening to this lesson right now in this moment so that you could face the choice of what you need to do. We need to remember that not all opportunities present themselves again. This present moment is a blessing in which we have the opportunity to consider our souls. And we need to consider our souls. You know, there's no other time to change your soul's well-being. There's no other time to do that. Wishing you would have become a Christian yesterday does not make you a Christian. And you can't go back. That's a waste of time. It's just complete futility. Our past is gone. And planning to change in the future. I have to believe. Here's the thing. I have to believe. I just told you that if somebody doesn't obey the gospel at the end of the sermon, I've failed. It's not exactly true. I hope and I pray that God will let time continue, that souls will be saved. And we'll talk about that again in just a moment. But the thing is, when you have this plan, I've got this plan, and one of these days I'm going to become a Christian, I know I should, that's way too uncertain. We just don't know what life is going to afford us. James chapter 4, verse number 14, life is like a vapor, appears for a little while and vanishes away. It is now that God's blessed us with the opportunity to do what is required. What did Paul say over in 2 Corinthians 6, 2? He says, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. That's when we need to embrace it. Be thankful for this opportunity. Don't say to yourself, I've had many opportunities and I will have many opportunities. Here, let me share with you a little bit of useless trivia. Today marks an anniversary for me. 2,555 Sundays since I was born. 2,555 Sundays today since I was born. I didn't keep track. I looked it up on the internet. What's that mean? With very few exceptions, with very few exceptions, I would have to hazard a guess, less than 30 exceptions, I've missed worship. Less than 30 times I've missed worship. I'll go ahead and say that. Because of illness. And over the last 49 years, 2,555 Sundays, never intentionally have I missed worship. Never. That's interesting, isn't it? I think. It's interesting to me. Because I know there's people that come along and say, well, I've heard Sean say the invitation before. I've heard it for years. I've heard that, you know, I've had plenty of opportunities. I'm always going to have opportunities. Maybe you've had 3,000 opportunities to worship like I have. Well, you're always going to have more, are you? That's kind of what makes it useless trivia. Because past results do not indicate future. We've all heard the rap, haven't we, about investments? Past results do not indicate future success. What have you done with your time? What are you going to do with your time? Don't play this game where you come along and say, oh, I've got plenty of opportunities. I'm always going to have opportunities. Don't do that, because time runs out. All too often, such conclusions become fatal mistakes. Our life ends. And I know that there's a whole lot of people that show up on the other side of their last breath and go, oh man, I really wish I would have done what I was planning to do. Be thankful for this moment. For this present moment, and choose to use it wisely and well. There is so much to be thankful for in this present moment. Pray to God and thank Him for it. Let's get to the next thought and the last thought. Let them be yours. Be thankful for the future. Well, our future is not written yet. I don't know where we got this mentality, this idea. Well, God's got it all charted out for you. God's got a plan for you. He does. God gave me free will. God gave me free will. And this amount of intelligence, I don't try to compare that with many people because I don't like feeling dumb. But anyway, the idea is God gave me this and the choice to make. That's all. I don't believe God's got all this charted out. You can't prove it from the Scriptures. And if you try to prove it from the Scriptures, you're going to be looking at somebody else's life, not mine. But what about the future? We need to be thankful for its hope and for its possibilities. When we begin to accept the value of time, I don't know how long it takes to begin to accept the value of time. When you're young, time is forever. You have all time in the world, you know? I don't know what age would catch it. I'd say 25. Let's just say 25. You know, when you're 25 years old, 25 years seems like a lifetime. Let that sink in for a second. You hear what I'm saying? When you're 50 years old, 25 years old only seems like half a lifetime. You follow me now? When you're 75 years old, 25 years seems like a walk in a park. But that's the thing. When do you start to embrace the value of time? Because if I have time, I'm no longer going to waste it. If I have more time, if God blesses me with the next moment, I'm going to use it well. Future time is important for souls to be saved. God is allowing time to continue. God is in charge. The Almighty Father is in charge of how long this world will exist. Jesus, while He was here on earth, said that He didn't know, the angels in heaven don't know, only the Father knows when it will come to an end. But God's patience is what provides for our opportunity. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 15 tells us that is the patience of God is our salvation. Future time is important for bearing fruits worthy of repentance. You know, way back during the teaching of John the Baptizer, he instructed repentance and declared bearing fruits worthy of repentance. He said that they need to actually prove that they've changed. Prove the change in their life. That's what fruits of repentance are. And so when we think about that, you know, we need to have time in order to prove that we've changed. Time is a blessing from God, and I trust that there will be much to be thankful for as time continues. So pray to God and thank Him for the future possibilities. You know, our country is not alone in needing to acknowledge our Almighty God of heaven. I know that in some odd way, the crazy way out there politically liberal country I came from originally, they still have Thanksgiving, and it's in October, but they're so far from God. I hope we don't follow the same course they follow. But you know, all countries need to obey the will of the Almighty Father. They need to see His blessings and turn to Him. Certainly, Thanksgiving Day alone is not sufficient for this purpose. So don't wait around and thank God one day a year. It's obviously so. All people everywhere need to seek and obey our Creator God every day. So what you've done before, our past, has led us to this moment. This moment, it's one of those moments. What will you do in the days ahead? Well, it's all going to be framed on the choice you make even now. This present moment and the choice that you make in it will frame your future days. The choice of this moment is whether we will give God our whole self or continue distancing ourselves from Him. Because every day you live outside of Christ, away from God, the gap gets bigger. That's just the way it works in this life. Great thanksgiving will be raised up on your behalf if you obey the gospel today, if you're willing to choose God today. Why not come to Him through Jesus Christ, His Son, right now? Jesus is the Son of God. He died for you so that you today could stand up and say, I believe that He's the Son of God. I know that I've sinned and I'm determined to stop those sins in my life. That's repentance. Submitting to the water of baptism, have your sins washed away. Rise and walk in the newness of life and set yourself on a course to walk toward heaven just like we are walking toward heaven. That's available to you today. We'd love to help you and we'd be so thankful for that opportunity. If you are a child of God, you're not living the way you should, you know that happens. It's not an excuse. It's not a rationale. But you know, every once in a while, we as Christians, we mess it up. We sin. God has a plan for us that we're able to pray to Him, asking for forgiveness, determining to repent of those sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive us. So this morning, we also know, according to Acts chapter 8, that we can pray with you and for you. If you need to come to the Lord or come back to the Lord, let us help you as we stand and sing.